Thank you for the opportunity to lift our voices in praise to you. You are worthy. Lord, I pray that you've heard our voices and that you've, Lord, you've seen our hearts, Lord, and that you are pleased. I pray that our worship tonight brings a smile to your face that pleases you. God, let this night be filled with learning and just soaking in your truth, applying it to our lives, and letting your truth refresh us and recharge us. Lord, use us this week in your ministry and in your kingdom. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Good evening. Glad to have you this Wednesday at Recharge. On Wednesday nights, we've been walking through what Jesus demands from the world, what commands he gives, and the demand that's put upon us and how to respond to him. And so we've been walking through a list of commands, and tonight we're going to look at this here. Jesus and the New Testament, the Bible, demands that you and I listen to Jesus, right? That we listen to him. Listen to a couple of these verses. Matthew 17, 5 is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Father speaks, right? While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Mark 7:14, "And he called the crowd to him again And he began saying to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand." Or again in Luke 8:18, "So take care how you listen." The command from the scripture that we must listen to Jesus. Okay? It is a command that we must think is worthy of us turning off the TV, turning down the noise in our lives, turning down social media, fasting from it for periods of time, making sure that we set aside portions of our life where we listen to Jesus. Right, the New Testament, as Jesus came along, you remember as he would go from village to village that they would say, "No one has ever spoken like him before. He speaks with authority." Not like our scribes and teachers. The way he speaks, it is just different. Well, why is that? Because he speaks the very words of God. He speaks the very words of God, right? John 12:49. Jesus says, "For I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak." He only speaks what the Father tells him. John 14:24. "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear," right, "is not mine. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." See, when Jesus speaks, it is the very words of God. It deciphers the heart. It begins to expose because your Creator is speaking to you. Now, there are other things that we could say. Do you recall how when Jesus spoke, the demons had to obey? Right? There were a number of instances where Jesus would heal, or he would raise the dead, or even he would cast out demons. And the demons would say, is now the time when you're going to send us into the abyss? Couldn't you just send us into those swine? And whatever Jesus said, they had to obey his words. Furthermore, Jesus would tell us that his words are the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life. In John chapter 6, there is a long exchange where Jesus had fed the 5,000. You guys remember Jesus feeding of the 5,000? Well, a large group showed up the very next day because they wanted more of that food. And Jesus, like he always does, he penetrates with his speech, right? It immediately cuts the heart and it exposes pure motives, right? What the motives are. I'm thinking of like the rich young ruler. You remember the rich young ruler? He just looked Jesus looked at him and said, "You must go sell all you possess." Well, in John chapter 6, when the crowd comes back, he says the same thing to him. "You guys are just here because I fed you yesterday." And then he starts to teach them that he is bread, that he is manna, that he is living water and living bread. And you must eat him. And the whole crowd dissipates. They all leave. At the end of that account, Jesus turns to his disciples, says, "You guys going too?" And Peter says this. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." You have words of eternal life. Earlier in John 5:24, the previous chapter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." See, the words of Jesus are actually words of life. They expose the heart and they call forward into faith, into life itself. There is no one like him that can call forward such life. So now let's ask the question, well, why are those who do not hear and do not believe? Well, Jesus specifically speaks to that. In John, I'm pretty sure this is John 6, maybe it's 8, I'm sorry. In John 6 or 8, 37, he says to them, I know that you're children of Abraham, and yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. You see, how did they respond to his word? There is an expectation. Jesus had spoken, and they were hardened to his word. They could not hear. Why? Because his word had no place in you. There's another account chapters later at the end of John. In John chapter 18, Jesus is before Pilate. Remember this exchange with Pilate. And Jesus is speaking, and it's stirring something up in Pilate, and he doesn't quite know what to do with it. He can't quite put his finger on it. And then Jesus says this, "For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." But you can tell Pilate is one of those that does not hear. His reply is, "What is truth?" You see, there's this refrain through the scripture, this expectation that you will hear his voice. In fact, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice." John 10, 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." So that when the Son of God, very God, shows up and speaks, and you hear his words, there is an expectation that you respond. The expectation is that you would hear, that you would see. That you are not neutral in this process, but that you are doing something to harden your heart. And at the end of time, all of those who have heard but have not heard will actually be held accountable. Because Romans 1 places it like this, that God has put a knowledge of himself inside of every person. And look around, there's all of creation that is speaking out, that is crying out to the glory of God. And you have the conscience that God has placed inside of everyone. And therefore, this refrain that goes through, that I've just walked through, this expectation that when you hear the words of Jesus, because they are the very words of God and they are the very words of life, that you and I are called to listen. An expectation that we listen, for you must. We will be held accountable to listen to him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have revealed yourself to us through your Son. You've spoken. You have preserved your word with clarity so that we would know you and so that we would be able to listen to you. For you have the words of eternal life. And you have awakened our soul and allowed us to hear and to know you. And we, as your sons and daughters, we want to know you more. And we want to listen to you more. You have given us your Spirit, and we want to be able to abide in you throughout the day and to hear your word and to put it into practice. And we want to see more, and we want to hear more. And so we cry out for that truth because your word makes it so clear that your wisdom is continually calling out day and night, and that you long to teach us if we would be humble and if we would listen and if we would receive instruction. We want to be those kind of followers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.